This is Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. A reminder that this program, the content of this program, is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. We're going to be reading from the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports today. If you have any questions or would like to join our little organization as a sponsor, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's get to the letter from the editor. Dear reader, truly true crime. I'm lying in bed reading and again imagining myself as Harry Bosch. Make no mistake, I've never wanted to be Harry Bosch. After all, he's an orphan and a troubled Vietnam vet who toils as a homicide detective in L.A.'s grittiest streets. Yet as I read, I wish I knew what he knows, or at least had his presence of mind. Bosch is a ruminative, unrelenting star of ex-journalist Michael Connelly's crime fiction books, and frankly one of my guides to the moral universe. After reading the umpteen Bosch books we published on select editions, I see him as an ultimate wounded warrior fighting for redemption, in L.A.'s down and out and for himself. Everybody counts, he says, or nobody counts, as he quietly struggles to raise a teenage daughter while corralling his partners and fellow former tunnel rats to help him with his often grueling investigations. His history leaves him with no means of coping beyond the haunted self-sufficiency that I admire from my very comfy bed. A lot of you, I know, love true crime stories. Reader's Digest has always featured them. This issue, we bring a piece from the Marshall Project and Frontline that sheds chilling new light on the DNA's value as evidence. But for crime that is sometimes truer than true, I recommend select editions. Every volume contains four compelling quick-read novels. Invariably, one or two features a complex law enforcement character, such as Case Burkholder and author Linda Castillo's books about the Amish of Ohio, Mike Bowditch, writer Paul Dorian's main game warden, and my old friend Harry, wrestling with authentic, deeply researched issues of the heart. If you're interested, go to selecteditions.com/RDMAR19. We have a good offer there, and thanks as always for reading. Bruce Kelly, Editor-in-Chief. Letters. Back to the this is for the December-January issues. Back to the holiday spirit. Thank you for publishing your past two issues without endless articles on how to avoid holiday stress, get around fighting with your family, and dodge the holiday blues. Thank you for showing that miracles, caring, and goodness are so much more important and lasting. Carol Mulden, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Real-life miracles. Reading The Church That Wouldn't Burn, I found it most interesting to learn that there are underground coal veins that continue to burn in Centralia, Pennsylvania. Shortly after I read your story, my sister-in-law told me about other coal veins that have burned at the Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota since last May. A ranger told her that a separate vein had smoldered for 26 years. Amazing. Georgia Command O'Brien, Bruce, Wisconsin. The Miracle of Memory. It was a joy to read about Bruce Kelly decorating his Christmas tree with the loved ornaments. Many of my friends have themes for their trees, pink, purple, Disney, whatever. Mine is always the same, with ornaments the children made, memories from church taken, gifts from friends, and some I just purchased because they were pretty and Christmassy. Nice to know I'm not the only one who has an old-fashioned tree. Hazel Petey Coletta, Pembroke Pines, Florida. Unfreeze your brain. The article stated that talking to people who disagree with you is good for your brain. Actually, you have to listen to people who disagree with you. Dinah Donahoe, Lovington, New Mexico. I won! Wing Bowl 2018, won by Molly Shire, was the 26th and final championship. Begun in 1993 as a promotion for a local radio station, it was Philadelphia's substitute for the Super Bowl, as the Philadelphia Eagles never made it that far. Then the Eagles won the Super Bowl 52 in 2018, so there is no longer a need to continue Wing Bowl. This Eagles fan wished to set the record straight. Joan McGowan, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We found a fix. Another way to get your water past airport security, other than freezing it as you suggest, I take an empty water bottle and put it in my carry-on. Once I go through security, I fill it in a water fountain. It's easy and saves money, too. Judy Wakanowski, Matthews, North Carolina. Everyday Heroes. Caped Crusader. Austin Perrine isn't the only one with a powerful lesson about love and service. Kudos to his incredible parents, who recognized teaching moment and facilitated a change for the better in our world. I'm grateful for such an example. Kobe Dudley, Buchholz, Texas. How to maintain your purpose in life. Last New Year's Day, I vowed to do 365 random acts of kindness. I'm on track to do just that, and I truly am happier, more relaxed, and more content. But even more incredible are the random acts of kindness done to me this year. Were they always given and I was blind to them? Or has karma kicked in and rewarded me? All I know is that this resolution has given my life true meaning this year. Suzette Marie McCulley, Rapid City, South Dakota. Even better made-up words. This English teacher was inspired by the best made-up words ever to think of another one, indigestion, which is the indigest in capital letters, which is the uncomfortable feeling that occurs after reading all the current Reader's Digest in 2 days and know it will be a month before the next one arrives, Annie Muse, Pierce, Nebraska. One of the most frustrating things about the autocorrect is that it is almost impossible to be creative with words. But your new words are perfect, and I would not be surprised to see some of them appearing in the new edition of the official dictionary. Donna Nickel, Hayward, Wisconsin. Nailed it. After a salon turns away a physically challenged woman, a stranger makes a truly beautiful gesture. And there's a picture of a young African-American lady wearing those ripped jeans that everybody seems to wear, and has long, beautiful, curly black hair, and a young woman, Anglo woman in a wheelchair with a big smile. Both of them have big smiles on their face. And the woman in the wheelchair obviously has, believe, probably cerebral palsy, but we'll find out in the article. Ebony Harris Left says her motivation for helping Angela Peters was simple. I wanted to make her day special. Beauty isn't about having a pretty face, begins a motivational quote. It's about having a pretty mind, a pretty heart, and a pretty soul. And oh, pretty nails don't hurt either. That may be well Angela Peters' motto. Last July, Peters, 36, rolled her wheelchair into a nail salon located at the Walmart Shopping Center in Burton, Michigan, with the idea of bedazzling her fingers. But Peters, who has cerebral palsy, was turned away. The salon, which is not owned by Walmart, she says, told her they were afraid it would be too difficult to properly paint her nails, given that her hands shook. What was meant to be a day of beauty bliss for Peters was now a disappointment. Watching the interaction from a few feet away was a Walmart cashier about to go on a break. Ebony Harris, 40, recognized Peters as a Walmart regular. Now, what she recognized in Peters was a kindred spirit. She's a girly girl, Harris told ABC 12 of Flint, Michigan. She's just like you, me, and my daughter. Anybody. She wants to look pretty, so why can't she? Harris approached Peters. Do you want me to do your nails? She asked. A smile spread across Peters' face. Yeah. Harris escorted Peters into the beauty aisle, where they shopped for nail polish. They settled on a bright blue, a statement color that would catch every eye. They made their way into a neighboring Subway, found a table for two, and set up shop. Harris gently took Peters' hands into hers and carefully began painting her nails. She moved her hands a little bit, and she kept saying she was sorry. Harris said, I told her, don't say that, you're fine. If anything, the shoe was on the other hand, as it were. I was a little nervous and was shaking because I didn't want to mess her nails up, Harris admitted to ABC News. I told her she's a blessing to us, to anybody, just not just me. She makes me look at life and appreciate it much more than I have. A fellow Walmart employee stopped by to suggest that the blue nails could do with a little extra zing, so they added some glitter polish. Watching it all with awe and admiration was Subway employee Tasia Smith. What struck her most was the ease and gentleness displayed by Harris as she painted Peter's nails, all the while chatting as if they were old friends. Smith was so taken by the scene that she wrote about it on Facebook. They were so patient with her, she wrote, thank you to the Walmart workers for making this beautiful girl's day. Peters, who runs a grocery poetry website, heavenlypoems.com, harbors no bitterness toward the nail salon that turned her away. The salon claims they denied Peters service because they were too busy. Yeah, right. When people do us wrong, we must forgive, Peters wrote on Facebook. I just want to educate people that people with different challenges, like being in a wheelchair, can have their own businesses and get our nails done like anyone else. Though in Peter's case, there was certainly something special about this manicure. Flaring out her fingers to better show off her nails, she told ABC 12, I'm like, wow, these are amazing. Everyday Heroes, Iceman to the Rescue. Gruge Genet, 11, and Anthony Skopik, 10, couldn't agree. Were they birds out on the ice, ducks or geese? There was only one way to find out. So on a chilly January evening last year, the two friends ventured onto the frozen pond near their homes in Frankfort, Illinois, to get a better look. First, they tossed a rock onto the ice to test it. Cruz told NBC5 Chicago, "Then we stepped on it, convinced the ice would hold their weight. Anthony took a few steps, then, whoomp, he crashed through the seemingly frozen surfaces. There was no sound, no crack," he told ABC7 Chicago. "I just fell through instantly." Cruz rushed to help his panicked friend. Foomp! The pond swallowed him, too. Cruz managed to lift himself out of the frigid water into a more solid section. He then gingerly worked his way toward Anthony, but the ice didn't hold, and he fell in again. This time he couldn't get out. The boys were up to their necks in icy water and quickly losing feeling in their limbs. Any chance of freeing themselves was slipping away. Cruz thought he was going to die. Anthony's older sister had seen the balls fall through the ice and started screaming for help. John Lavin, a neighbor, driving nearby on his way to the grocery store, heard her. He quickly pulled over. Seeing the boys, he grabbed a nearby boy, kicked off his shoes, and ran into the slushy water, chopping his way through the ice to his free fist. It was kind of a Hulk smash, Lavin told NBC Chicago. Lavin made his way to the Cruz and Anthony and hauled them back to land. They were taken to the hospital, where doctors discovered that their 5-minute stay in the water had lowered their body temperature nearly 10 degrees. Fortunately, the boys have fully recovered, though they are still a little awestruck by their fearless neighbor. "Just to think," says Cruz, "if he wasn't there, I could have died." And there's a picture of the young, and it looks like the guy who rescued him is about 6'6". He's real tall, and the boys are giving him a hug. The Key West Conch Shell Blowing Contest. I won. By Mary Loon Race, age 71, Panama Beach City, Florida. How did you get into blowing conch shells? When we moved here from Nashville 20 years ago, we met an old diver named Captain Scuba at the Mardi Gras Parade. He told me you've got to blow to give glory to the Creator. So I bought a shell from him that I call Buffett. I'm keeping this tradition alive. Did you use Buffett in the championship? I blew 4 different shells, 1 for loudness, 1 for length, and 2 others for show the sounds of the different sizes. I'm not that talented at making variety of sounds. I can just make the sound last quite a while, and quite loudly as well. But you're 71. What's your secret? Taking a deep breath as if I were going to swim underwater. You hold your breath in the shape of your lips, then let the horn do the work. Who was your fiercest competitor? A young lady who performed on a surfboard. A guy in front and a guy in back carried her to the stage. She was doing the hula and blowing on the conch shell. I was dumbfounded. We heard you had extra motivation this year. Yes, just because he called me up on stage, my boyfriend Rick, gone on his knee and proposed. I was at a loss for words, so I just blew the conch shell, and then I said yes. The Key West Conch Shell Blowing Contest takes place every March. Race won the women's division in 2013 and 2018. Quotable quotes. I think half or almost all of the pain in the world is people not feeling seen. It's like Mr. Rogers, my hero, says, love is at the root of everything. Love it or lack of it. Constance Wu, actor. Thankfully, perseverance is a great substitute for talent. Steve Martin, comedian. Grace is a consequence of humility. Tony Bentley, ballet dancer. Free education is abundant all over the Internet. It's a desire to learn that's scarce. Naval Rockefeller, an entrepreneur. I avoid looking forward or backward. Try to keep looking upward. Charlotte Bronte, novelist. There's no love without loss. It's a package deal. Brad Pitt, actor. Anyone my age knows that days pass at a far greater speed than when they were young. Prince Charles. People always ask me, you have so much confidence. Where did that come from? It came from me. One day I decided that I was beautiful, and so I carried out my life as if I was a beautiful girl. Gabori Sidibe, actor. And for those of you who don't know it, she's a very large African-American woman. Like most people, what I find irritating in others are my own faults. Josh Holland, musician. Points to ponder. It's so easy to be negative in this world and to say no. Yes is so much better. You say yes when you have your first kiss, when you want to make someone feel good, when you open yourself to new experiences. I always say yes. CCC. And it makes every day better. Andrea Bocelli, singer. Life in these United States. When my wife gets a little upset, sometimes a simple calm down is a soothing voice, and all it takes to get her a lot upset. Starving after hours of driving nonstop, my husband and I pulled over to a truck stop. While he gassed up in the car, I went into the restaurant and placed our order to go. After writing it all down, the girl behind the register asked, "Will that be all for you?" "No," I replied a bit defensively. "Some of it's for my husband." I've noticed fewer drivers are using their turn signals, and it makes me crazy. I was with a friend who wasn't using his directional, and I asked why. He shot back, "You know what? It's nobody's business which direction I'm turning." My 35-year-old son had just finished our meal when I realized I'd left my wallet in my truck. As I headed out the door, I told the waitress what had happened. "But don't worry," I said with a grin. "I'm leaving my son for collateral." She looked at him, and he winked at her, and she turned back to me. "What else you got?" Quotable quotes, little kids edition. Wait, what was I just crying about? "You count to 10, and I'll hide in the bathtub." "Well, that's just great. You cut my fingernails so short I can't even pick my nose now." Nothing says I mean business like using a shopping cart at the liquor store. After my wife accidentally swallowed my prostate medication, our daughter called a pharmacist to ask whether there was a cause for alarm. He replied, "Only if she starts hanging out the hardware store and buys a lot of power tools." Now that's funny. I was trapped in an elevator for 30 minutes before the doors finally opened. Relieved, I said to a fellow hostage, "It's the first time for everything." She grumbled back, "There's a last time for everything, too." The cat's meow. If you nod knowingly at these tweets, you're a cat person. I like to sleep on the left side of the bed, and my cat likes to sleep on the left side of the bed. So we're compromised, and I sleep on the right side of the bed. I feel like 90% of having a cat is saying, "Where is the cat?" A guy was dating, sat down on the couch next to me. I proceeded to whisper, "That's the cat spot," to myself. Sometimes I'll ask my cats, "Are you a good kitty?" They just look at me, and my wife will say, "Answer your father." A 5-year-old teaches a lesson in grace. On the night the author loses patience with her mother and her dementia, a grandmother's love unites them all. It's 8 o'clock on a cold spring night. Our apartment has been hit by a cyclone, the handiwork of a young, energetic child. Every bit of furniture is draped with paper chains, scissors and scotch tape, modeling clay and piles of acorns and party favors. I'm so tired tonight. I've been on crutches for 7 weeks, recovering from hip surgery, and I'm trying fruitlessly to clean up. The phone rings. It's the sixth time in less than an hour. We know who it is. When my mother was 68, a hemorrhagic stroke claimed her brain, but not her life. She awoke from a coma severely damaged, and the bleed instantly raised the landscape of her mind. Dementia soon built a gothic funhouse of distortions, where coherent architecture had once stood. She been manacled inside for a decade, with little to do but experience psychic distress. She is dogged by paranoia. Thinks she has been kicked out of her assisted living facility. Not true. She thinks her daughters have not visited in months. It has been a few days. She thinks that her friend Jimmy never wants to see her again. He calls and visits weekly. Each time she calls, I play a game with myself called, "How good a person can I be?" I won 5 rounds of the game tonight. I am due for a fall. She has no idea that she has repeated the things she is about to say 1,000,000 times a day and 1,000,000 times yesterday. She has no idea that I had surgery, nor can she recall her own granddaughter's name. She is unaware of most of the past, and she drifts in the present. She is lonely. I hurl my anger at the easiest target, my mother, the very victim of this chance whore. "Mom," I yell, "you are not being removed from your home, and we visited 2 days ago." Maybe it was 4 days ago, but she won't remember anyway. "Mom, you have to believe me. If you don't, I cannot talk anymore. Everything is fine." Silence then. I was only calling to say hi. I feel the dagger of passive aggression, which is the only working weapon in her mental arsenal. My mother continues, having already forgotten that I yelled. Sometimes she does remember. Tonight I back out. I look out. "But I'm also frantic about something. Do you have a minute?" "No, Mom, I don't. I can't again with this." "Why are you yelling?" I'm yelling because you aren't my mother. You are a poorly rendered stand-in who cannot help me care for my child, or be a grandmother, or even remember to ask me about my day. I'm yelling because I have talked you off this ledge 5 times tonight, and I'm yelling because you remind me of everything I fear. Aging, sickness, fragility, bad luck, loss, impermanence. You name it. If it's scary, you remind me of it. I flop on the couch, aware of all my daughter is witnessing. She hears me reprimand my mother, lose my patience, announce that someone I love is an imposition. I have not only failed at being a good person, I have failed at being a good example to my daughter. I stew on the couch defeated. Can I talk to Grandma Ellie? My 5-year-old reaches for the phone. Wordlessly, I hand it over. Hi, Grandma. I hear my mother exclaim through the receiver. Sweetheart, how are you? Did you go to school today? What witchcraft is this? All she said was, hi, Grandma. And my mother sounds like a person fully alert to the heartbeat of a normal day. Yes, Grandma, today was share day, and I brought my Wonder Woman braces. Can you put it on speaker? I whisper to my daughter. She obliges, and out of the phone comes a waterfall of good cheer. My mother tells her how much she loves her and how lovely her voice sounds. Then, I hope I'll see you soon. My mother makes her plea for a promise of companionship. I hear her voice differently now. I'm not tired or angry. I'm soft inside, watching my kindergartner handle her fragile grandmother with such deftness. Grandma, we are taking you to the carousel this weekend. I'm going on the frog, and you can go on the horse next to me. Ah, that's wonderful, darling. I'm mesmerized by their exchange. Tell me, did you go to school today? She already asked that. Yes, Grandma, I went to school, and we had share day. I brought my Wonder Woman bracelet. Ah, you did? How wonderful. Do you want me to sing you a song? I know 3 songs from Annie. And then my daughter sings. The sharp evening breeze sails through the window, and the mess in our apartment settles around me like an old soft quilt. I listen to my daughter crooning to her grandmother, caring for her with the exquisite patience. I spent so much time wishing she had a real grandmother, wishing she knew my real mother. In this moment, I see that she does have a real grandmother, and she does have a real relationship with her. It isn't the one I had hoped for. But to her, this is normal. To care for a loved one is part of life. When they hang up, after many kissing noises, I tell my daughter it is bath time. She wildly protests, but I draw the bath anyway. I'm still mommy, after all, and she is still 5. And yet tonight, she taught me how to answer the phone like a grown-up. Amazing anagrams. It is mere coincidence you can rearrange the letters of the words on the left and get the words on the right. Dormitory, dirty room. The Morse code, here come dots. Slot machines, cash lost in them. Snooze alarms, alas, it's no more Z's. 11 plus 2, 12 plus 1. How to build a better breakfast. 11 ways to get the most out of the first and most important meal of the day. And there's a picture of a bowl full of milk being splashed full of, looks like, cornflakes. We've all heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and that may actually be true. A study of more than 50,000 adults aged 30 and older found that breakfast eaters were more likely to lose weight than those who didn't eat a morning meal. Other studies link skipping breakfast with a higher level of developing high blood pressure, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes. But it's not just what you eat. It's what you eat. Not when you eat, it's what you eat. Balancing carbohydrates with protein, fiber, and healthy fats is the key to a satisfying and nutritious breakfast. These tips will help you really rise and shine. Eat even if you're not hungry. Although you might not feel like eating first thing in the morning, it's a good idea to get something into your system. Eating within 90 minutes of waking up will jumpstart your metabolism and keep you from getting hungry later, says Amy Shapiro, founder of Real Nutrition NYC. Just a banana will do the trick. Be boring. Varying what you eat is a good idea in theory, but if you're watching your weight, you might want to stick with the same old menu. A 2014 British study found that people who allowed their breakfast calories to fluctuate as measured by 5-day diet dairy had larger waists and higher incidence of metabolic syndrome than folks who kept their morning calorie intake consistent, no matter how much they ate the rest of the day. It's not clear why your morning calorie count makes such a difference, but given that larger waist size and metabolic syndrome can increase your chances of diabetes, heart attack, and stroke, it's worth making the effort to hold it steady. Add peanuts or peanut butter. In a small study of 15 obese women, eating peanuts or peanut butter helped to lower the glycemic response to a breakfast of cream of wheat and orange juice, meaning that the carbohydrates were digested more slowly and blood sugar did not rise as high. Plus, the women felt fuller for up to 12 hours after eating the peanut butter or peanuts, so they were less likely to snack later. Spreading peanut butter on toast or sprinkling chopped nuts on cereal are easy ways to add protein to a carb-heavy meal. Drink coffee only after you've eaten. Coffee on an empty stomach can be too acidic for your body, and pairing it with your morning meal could set you up for overeating throughout the day. It could send the signal that you're full and don't need to eat for another couple of hours, says certified holistic nutrition coach Andrea Moss, founder of Moss Wellness. This can mean mess with hunger levels, energy levels, focus, and concentration later on in the day. Also, when you reach for your first cup, double-check the calorie count on your coffee order. Even a healthy-sounding small skim latte, which is mostly milk with just a shot or two of espresso, has about 140 calories, Shapiro says. Instead, she recommends a dash of cinnamon in your coffee for a calorie-free natural sweetener that could also help regulate your blood sugar. Go big! There's an old saying that advises eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. It's worth following, according to a study of 93 obese and overweight women with metabolic syndrome. Those who ate a balanced 700-calorie breakfast over a 12-week period lowered their blood sugar and blood pressure 2 times more than people who ate a 200-calorie meal. They also lost an average of 19.2 pounds and had lower levels of ghrelin, the hunger hormone. Pile on the produce. I advocate for plants for every meal, Shapiro says. She recommends sneaking in the servings of fruits or veggies by cooking tomato or spinach in your eggs, adding avocado to your breakfast sandwich, or eating half a banana with toast. Always pick a protein. A review of studies in the Journal of Advanced Nutrition found that for breakfast to reduce hunger later in the day, it needs to be high in protein. Shapiro recommends eggs, not butter, nut butter, or cottage cheese, which is generally a little lower in sugar than yogurt, to give your breakfast a protein boost. Embrace fat, even dairy fat. Fat isn't the main ingredient in weight loss success. Sugar is. Fat is digested slowly by the body and helps decrease the rate at which we digest and break down carbohydrates, says Moss. That means healthy fats keep you full and squash cravings. At least 1/4 of the calories in your breakfast should come from fats, mostly healthy mono and polyunsaturated kind. That's what's more, milk is usually fortified with vitamins A and D, which are fat-soluble. So you need some fat, at least 1-2%, to help your body absorb those nutrients more efficiently. Calorie control your smoothie. A smoothie might seem like a healthy option, especially when made from whole fruits rather than fruit juices. But be careful of a fruit free-for-all, because the calories and sugar add up when you toss in too much. Shapiro says just one large banana, for instance, has 121 calories and 6.6 grams of sugar. Look for larger flakes. A little observed fact about cereal. The smaller the flake size, the more efficiently it fills a bowl. That means you'll get more small flake cereal by weight in a given bowl than you will with larger flakes, and that could lead to overeating. In fact, a study published in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics revealed that even though participants poured themselves a slightly lower volume of cereal when the flakes were small, then they still consumed more cereal by weight compared with the bowl containing bigger flakes. How do you separate the flakes out? That's what I want to know. And sneaky sugar. Since cereal can be a surprising sugar bomb, depending on the brand, more than half of your calories could come from sugar. It's wise to limit how much you eat. You should also look for a brand with at least 5 grams of fiber and no more than 8 grams of sugar per serving, says Shapiro. Examples are shredded wheat, original Big Biscuit, Kashikoolene, and Nature's Path Heritage Flakes. Yogurt can be a problem, too. Non-fat yogurts are often loaded with sugary syrups or artificial sweeteners. Instead, try an unsweetened, low, or full-fat version and add a fresh or dried fruit or some honey. Prank you. Joke's on you. Kids who put shaving chrome on my car. I was going to shave my car anyway. Yeah, right. And let's switch over to Consumer Reports. The Science of Sound. Noise is a byproduct of the many machines that bring comfort and convenience to the American household. The rattling AC unit that keeps you up, the gurgling dishwasher that makes you blast the TV, the whining leaf blower that has you warring with your neighbor. Here's the story of the testers and engineers who obsess noise in everyday products, plus tips for how you can take control and improve your quality of life. And there's a graph here. Well, it's not really a graph. There's a whole bunch of illustrations here, and I'll describe them as we go along here. How CR measures noise. A decibel is a unit of measure used to describe relative sound, pressure levels on a logarithmic scale. With O as perceptible, at CR we use the A-weighted scale, which represents frequency audible to the human ear. For most products, we measure the noise at the working distance from the sound source. For example, 3 feet for a stick vacuum to approximate the distance between the motor and your ear when you're vacuuming. These charts show the range of sound level readings for every model in CR's ratings in 15 product addresses. Okay, and we'll run through those in a second. But first of all, the decibel range. 10 decibels, breathing. Very unlikely to damage the hearing. 50 decibels, rainfall. Unlikely to damage hearing, but potentially disruptive to sleep or concentration. 85 decibels, heavy traffic. Likely to damage hearing with continued exposure. CR recommends hearing protection when using equipment this loud. If you have to shout over it, you should protect your ears. And 110 decibels are a rock concert. Potential to cause hearing damage with just a few minutes. Consumer Reports recommends wearing hearing protection and minimizing your exposure to the products this loud. And then I've got a list of the things. A microwave oven measured at 3 feet gives about 50 to 70 decibels. An air purifier, once again, 50 to 70 decibels. Vacuum cleaner stick at 3 feet is 70 to 90 decibels. An air fryer is roughly 50 decibels. A space heater, that obviously includes the fan and stuff, is right in the 50 decibel level. A leaf blower, models with electric mowers tends to be quieter, and those with gas engines tend to be louder. Type is important, too. Backpack blowers bring the noise source closer to your ear than handheld models do. And this is 75 to 95 decibels. The humidifier, decibels, is at 3 feet. It's the widest range of decibels of all products CR test. From 29 decibels to 74 decibels. Why? Evaporative models have fans that make them loud, and ultrasonic and vaporizer versions do not. And there's pictures of leaf blowers and all kinds of stuff in here. Anyway, squeaks, hums, rattles, beeps, chirps, chimes, whines, thumps, bangs, all sorts of noises come from the devices and machines in our homes. And they are more than merely annoying. Over the long term, they can have a deep impact on your ways that are not always obvious. Public health experts have long warned about hearing damage from prolonged environmental exposure to noise levels at or above 85 decibels, which can come from everything from construction equipment to barking dogs. But experts are also seeing evidence of physiological and psychological consequences from noise exposure far below that threshold. From about 40 decibels, a little louder than a quiet office, we start to see mood disruptions, says Erica Walker, an environmental health researcher and the director of the Community Noise Lab at the Boston University School of Public Health. And as we move to 65 decibels and above, we see hypertension, increased secretion of stress hormones, thickening of the blood, and cardiovascular mortality. We may even be more susceptible to noise when we're asleep. Lab and field studies conducted by researchers from the Institute of Aerospace Medicine at the German Aerospace Center showed that sound pressure levels above 33 decibels, what you'd experience 4 feet away from a CR-recommended air purifier set on low, can disrupt sleep cycles, which can lead to impaired mental abilities and potentially other health issues. There might be much you can do about the noise you experience in the world outside, but inside your home you get to control the volume. It's a place where you can make decisions about the products you own, and in some cases there are big differences in how noisy they are and how you use them. Your home should be a sanctuary, says Maria Reichick, Consumer Reports Senior Director of Product Testing. We know that the way products sound can be deeply important to the consumer experience. That's why we test for more than 24 categories. Reicherich points out that many appliances these days handle their basic functionality pretty well. Almost all dishwashers in our ratings, for instance, score a very good or an excellent for washing performance. In that type of product category, noise can be a characteristic that shapes your feelings about the machine you're going to live with every day. If you don't spend a little time considering the noise profile of a product before you buy it, you might wind up spending a lot of time considering it after you buy it, she says. What it means to measure noise. Noise is at once basic and devilishly complex. By definition, noise is simply unwanted sound, but the community experts who attempt to measure it, control it, and hunt it down in the products we use every day, noise can be... Hang on a sec. Computer problem. Hang on. Sorry about that. Had a momentary computer problem there. Anyway, noise is an extraordinary engine. Noise can be a problem that requires extraordinary engineering, diligence, sophisticated instruments, and occasionally a bit of imagination. John Galeatafiore, boy, that's a name, G-A-L-E-O-A-T-A-F-I-O-R-E, John Galeatafiore, the engineer who oversees Consumer Reports testing of outdoor power equipment, has spent a considerable amount of time rigging up sound meters in interesting ways to stimulate the position of the human ear. We clip a microphone to a baseball cap when we're testing lawnmowers, he says. That's important because it captures what the consumer will experience in their own backyard. These meters measure sound pressure levels, that is, the difference in pressure between a sound wave and the ambient air pressure expressed in decibels, which is relative to where you're standing. So we often place our sound meters at multiple distances from products during noise testing. The meter measuring 3 feet from a leaf blower will tell us whether you need to wear ear protection, and the same meter 50 feet away will tell us what your neighbor might hear if you decide to tend to your leaves early on a Saturday morning. But other factors contribute to the perception of noise. Like music, most sound isn't monotone. It typically comprises many frequencies at varying levels. Experts often define sound quality using such terms such as pitch, loudness and softness, sharpness, roughness, and tonality. All of these qualities together influence how we react to different sounds. Certain sounds make us feel relaxed. Others, particularly high-frequency sounds or loud, low-frequency thumping sounds, annoy us and can trigger stress-producing hormones. A sound's decibel level or the sound volume doesn't give you the whole story, says Jim Nanny, the engineer who oversees Consumer Reports. Outdoor power equipment can get dangerously loud. CR testers have taken at ear readings on machines such as string trimmers that exceed 95 decibels. According to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, exposure to noise levels of 85 decibels and higher for more than 8 hours in a day can damage hearing. Exposure to 100 decibels can start doing harm after 15 minutes. Unless you have a small yard, you're probably using many of these tools for longer than 15 minutes, says Vicki Tootin, an audiologist at the American Speech-Language Hearing Association. That means you need to wear hearing protection. There are two options, earmuffs that cover the ears and earplugs, soft pieces of foam that go in the ear. Most hearing protection can reduce noise by at least 10 decibels, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Earplugs should be rolled tightly before being inserted so they conform to the ear canal. I invented a beep. David Pavaport, Design Direction Lead, Breville. Historically, kitchen appliances have generic, rudimentary beeps using simple electronics and a single-frequency buzzer. These simple beeps become an annoyance, or unheard, or confused with other products vying for attention in a busy kitchen. We set a challenge to see what we could do with this simple setup. How could we vary the beep duration, time, and sequence to create more connections to the product and enable the user to have a better experience? In our experience with sounds, less is more. And content is important. Keeping the number of beeps to a minimum but creating a distinguishing difference between them is a fine balance. Products have different modes of operation, so they need to communicate with their users in different ways. Confirmation that user has done something can be handled with a simple, okay, got it. Or, if the product is unattended, say you've gone into another room, a sound needs to be your call to action. They finished. Hey, finished. Without screaming at you. We played with sounds on a computer, finally chopping and editing the length of each beep and gap in between to create the final sound. There was lots of discussion about the difference between 0.6 seconds and 0.8 seconds. We put the sound on a prototype to test the fusers, and then we fine-tune it. It's an enormous amount of time spent on something so small, but when the final product adds a layer of extra delight or just the right amount of communication to allow people to simply enjoy the experience with their appliance, it's rewarding. I never heard of enjoying with an appliance. Wow. You can have a refrigerator that runs very quietly but generates an off-putting sound when the compressor starts. The sound level meter alone won't tell us that. This is back to the testing portion. To assess sound quality, Consumer Reports uses experienced sound judges who sit for hours listening to complete cycles of appliances such as dishwashers and washing machines. We also dispatch experts to the home of Consumer Report members to see how they live with products and which factors are important to them. We found that some folks enjoy the way sound of their window air conditioner lulls them to sleep, and others wake up every time the compressor kicks on. Appliance manufacturers know how noise can influence consumer reactions to their products, and many companies have spent decades testing and refining their products to hush the din out of them. Sometimes noise becomes an engineering balance, where product performance needs to be weighed against the consumer sensory experience. Other times, it's a sonic mystery that requires a little detective work. The case of his hissing compressor. Gabriella Serrato is a sound sleuth. He works as an engineer for Bruhl and Giard, a major sound and vibration measurement company founded in the 1940s by a pair of Danish scientists, Per Vilhelm Bruhl and Viggo Giard, pioneers in the discipline of sound measurement. Bruhl and Giard is one of the world's largest producers of sound measuring equipment, and also does consultations with manufacturers. Serrato, a theoretical physicist by training, spends much of her job tracking down noise in consumer products, then finding creative ways to control, baffle, attenuate, mask, redirect, or otherwise manipulate it. In 2001, prior to her starting at Bruhl and Giard, a major appliance maker called on Serrato for help with one of his refrigerators. Like others on the market, he had a compressor that was much quieter than that of the previous generation. It was so quiet, in fact, that consumers began complaining about the subtler noise. A noise doesn't have to be loud to be annoying. I can play Metallica and Beethoven at the same amplitude, but they sound completely different, Serrato says. Serrato began her investigation by taking sound recordings of the appliance in a semi-anechoic chamber, a room with walls and ceiling covered in sound-absorbing foam wedges, which allowed her to isolate the refrigerator's various knocks, rumbles, and hisses and squeaks. When reviewing the graph plotting sound frequency, Serrato and her team of engineers spotted a clue in the color-coded chart, a narrow band around 2350 Hz, just a sort of high-pitched tone that can get under your skin. But you still needed to find the source of excitation, she says. So we attached accelerometers to various parts, and as the refrigerator worked through its cycles, she was able to pinpoint the compressor's discharge system as the cause of the problem. Working with the compressor manufacturer, Serrato and her team recommended a redesign of two components in the discharge muffler, the part meant to reduce noise and vibration in the compressor discharge line, and the offending noise was no longer noticeable. In the end, the improved refrigerator was no quieter, but it sounded better. Decibels had nothing to do with this issue, Serrato says. It was about pure sound quality. The human factor. When it comes to assessing noise, sometimes the most effective testing equipment is the human ear, or better yet, a bunch of them. The raw data from a sound meter can tell you a lot about how loud or how quiet a machine is from a specific distance, but it doesn't experience the sound in a way that puts it into context for consumers. Dishwasher manufacturers, for instance, may publish a low decibel rating to support a claim about the quietness of a model. The figure might be accurate as an average, but by combining the readings from a long, silent drying cycle with noisy spikes from the machine filled with water and draining, the data can misrepresent the noisiness of the machine. I can blast an F-16 fighter jet engine for a few seconds and then shut it off and let it sit until the time-weighted average decibel equals a 40 dBA dishwasher, says Larry Guflo, the Consumer Reports test engineer who oversees the dishwasher lab. But what you'll remember is the noise that engine blasted for those few seconds. To better reflect the consumer experience with dishwashers, Quedo uses CR sound judges who sit there the entire cycle of every model we test, making assessments. They'll even listen to the cycle of a reference model we keep in the lab to recalibrate. We listen to the water splashing, soap dispensing opening, solenoids clicking. We listen to everything except the drawing. Like most major appliances, dishwashers have gotten quieter over the past few decades, partially in reaction to consumer feedback. In 1996, Germany's Bosch Home Appliance conducted a consumer research study that found the number one complaint among dishwasher owners was noise. Bosch re-engineered its dishwashers, adding levels of acoustic insulation, reinforcing the base to reduce vibration, and replacing the built-in food grinder with a filter that has to be removed and rinsed if it gets clogged. That decreased the convenience, but also reduced the noise. 2 decades ago, all the dishwashers Consumer Reports tested were self-cleaning. Today, more than 90% are not self-cleaning, and they're all relatively quiet. They are still loud dishwashers, but now consumers have much more of a choice, and you don't necessarily have to pay a premium to get a quiet one. When manufacturers need to better understand issues of sound quality with their products, they use listening panels made up of ordinary consumers. David Bowen, director of the Noise and Vibration Group at Exit Tech, an acoustical and vibration consulting firm based in Cambridge, Mass., often expands such groups to help companies troubleshoot noise problems or to simply guide them toward designing more acoustically pleasing products. Like Serato at Buell & Gier, Bowen is a bit of a sound detective, and he has worked on everything from electric toothbrushes to motorized window shades. He has even helped a golf brand fine-tune the sound of its titanium driver hitting a golf ball. Bowen's panels listen to sounds played over loudspeakers in response to numerical values. We bring in people to get quantitative answers to subjective attributes, like acceptability, as in how acceptable is this particular sound coming from this particular product. The panelists are asked to rate the sounds based on their subjective impressions of various attributes having to do with characteristics of the product itself. And Bowen uses the results to build data maps of custom perception. In 2004, Bowen turned to such a panel for the project to optimize the sound quality of a vacuum cleaner, polling the group's members on the acceptability of isolated sounds the machine made. With the help of his panel, Bowen concluded that the high-pitched squeal of a cooling fan annoyed users, and the lower frequency rumbling emanating from a belt-driven cleaning head gave them a reassuring sense of power. The solution, they kept the rumble and changed the geometry of the fan, reducing the squeal. In the end, the one thing Bowen's panels and even the most sophisticated instruments can't predict is the effect his work will have on a product's fortunes in the marketplace. I don't know if our change improved sales, he says, but operating the machine was certainly much better. Blenders are inherently loud, says Cindy Fisher, the test engineer who runs CR's blender lab. Nearly every model we test is more than 85 decibels, but we don't tell people to wear hearing protection since you don't run a blender as long as you would run a lawnmower or a drill. Use water to cover the blades and measure decibels for 30 seconds. The readings would be much higher crushing ice, as we do in our durability test, 1 minute on, 7 minutes off, repeating the cycle 45 times. You don't want to be in the lab when we run a durability test, she says. It's painful. How to quiet your house. Placing a shaggy rug with a carpet pad on a hardwood floor and some thick drapes on the windows can absorb everyday echoes and change the acoustics of a room for the better. But then what? If you want to bring the rest of your house to a more generalized state of peace and quiet, CR's experts have several other sound silencing secrets. For the laundry room, insulate around appliances. If you're constructing a laundry room close to your bedrooms, ask your contractor to add acoustic insulation to the interior walls to reduce the laundry ruckus. Drop the hammer. If your washing machine is rattling your pipes, you may have a problem known as water hammer, where the opening and closing of the machine's water valves vibrates your plumbing. It's not only annoying, it's bad for the pipes, says Jim Downey, CR's associate director at Large Appliance Testing. His suggestion, install a water hammer arrestor on the hot and cold connectors. Cool it on the alerts. Don't care when your dryer is done with a load? Certain laundry machines have settings that let you turn down or turn off their end-of-cycle alerts, although that may cause you to miss out on fresh-from-the-dryer jammies. Clean it later. Don't let your dishwashers gurgling compete with after-dinner conversation around the kitchen island. Instead, running your dishwasher right away, load it up with detergent and dishes when you clean up after a meal. Then use the delay start function to schedule a cleaning cycle for after you've gone to bed. Don't be alarmed. Tired of hearing your smoke alarm go off every time you burn toast? Don Huber, CR's Director of Product Safety, recommends placing your smoke detector at least 10 feet away from your cooking appliances to cut down on nuisance alarms. Don't have that kind of space in your kitchen? Move it to a nearby wall or a ceiling in the adjacent room. Do not disturb. Most phones and laptops come with a just leave me alone setting. The do not disturb setting keeps your devices from bothering you. And when you're winding down for bed, says Maria Reichert, Consumer Reports Senior Director of Product Testing. For Android phones and iPhones, look under settings. On a Mac, do not disturb is the notification section of system preferences. On a Windows 10, the feature is called Focus Assist. You'll find it under System in the Settings menu. Hush your smart speaker. If you enable a whisper mode on Amazon Alexa-powered smart devices, when you whisper to Alexa, she'll whisper back to you. No need to twist the volume dial. Similarly, Google Home devices have a night mode that lowers LED brightness and automatically turns down the volume of spoken responses. Even out the sound. Are you constantly adjusting the sound on your set? Certain TVs can do that for you. They can automatically lower the TV's volume during louder scenes and limit the volume differences when commercials come on. As you switch systems between channels, says Clodo Chiachi, who heads TV testing at Consumer Reports, look for this control in the audio settings, sometimes called auto volume or dynamic range compression. Put on some headphones. Spouse trying to fall asleep while you watch Colbert's monologue? Many TVs now have built-in Bluetooth. That means you can turn off the TV speakers and beam sound to a pairless wireless headphones. And speaking of headphones, noise-canceling headphones. Consumer Reports recommended headphones can quiet the world around you by generating sound waves meant to neutralize external noise, and they can make your music sound great, too. Bose Quiet Comfort Series 35 Series 2, $350. This wireless model rates an excellent in noise cancellation audio quality and has an integrated control that can adjust a variable noise canceling function or trigger digital assistance on compatible devices. The Sennheiser HD 450 at $150. Another wireless model, the HD 450 BTNC, is appealing for its price. While it doesn't score among the very best models in our ratings, the BTNC has very good sound and an excellent noise cancellation source. And then the Sony WF-7P700, $150. This earphone model from Sony has a true wireless design, meaning the earpieces aren't connected by a cable. It sports a very good for sound and noise cancellation. Road report. Why does my car alert me when it's 37 degrees Fahrenheit outside? Under certain conditions, it's possible for black ice to be present on roadways when the temperature is above 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Most newer cars issue a warning, such as a chime or a snowflake icon, when temperatures drop into the 30s to remind drivers that ice may be forming or already exist. Some cars also have a second alert to indicate when the air temperature has dropped to the freezing point. Remember that bridges and overpasses can ice over before other roadways become frozen. And then there's a dashboard decoder, and it shows a picture of what appears to be a tire with an explanation point in it. Test your symbol smarts by picking the meaning of the dashboard icon. First, is the toilet seat is up? Potato masher malfunction? Car seat may be too hot? Your tire pressure is low. Answer, all kidding aside, it means that your tire pressure is too low. Driving on improperly inflated tires can reduce fuel economy and affect how your vehicle rides and steers, particularly in an emergency. Remember to check your tires monthly, especially in winter when pressure can drop with the temperature. And 43% reduction in front-to-rear crashes at GM vehicles with forward collision warning and automatic emergency braking system versus the same models without them. Well, that's interesting. Ahead of the curve, CRV engine trouble. If you own a 2017 or 2018 Honda CRV with a 1.5-liter turbo engine, watch your oil level. Dozens of CRV owners have reported to Consumer Reports that the NHTSA, that gasoline has been seeping into their car's oil system, a potentially serious problem. Honda says that this occurs primarily in very cold weather and has started a major repair campaign in Maine, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. It will be expanding repairs to other states and says that owners can get a diagnosis by going to any Honda dealership, regardless of where they live. While it makes sense to prioritize repairs by risk level, Honda leaves out too many consumers who've reported this problem, says David Friedman, Vice President of Advocacy for Consumer Reports. CRV owners should check the oil level between changes. If it seems high or the engine isn't running properly, see a Honda dealer. Well, next week we'll talk about car repairs, but to fill a little time here since we've got a couple minutes left, there's a section here called Sanity Check Your Repair Estimate. Repair estimates can be confusing, but there are ways to make sure you're not being overcharged for repairs beyond basic maintenance, such as oil changes. Start by going to cr.org/car repair to find out roughly how much a specific repair should cost in your area. Compare that with a written estimate from your mechanic. Ask for an estimate that has the cost of parts and labor broken out. Don't be afraid to ask why a repair costs as much as it does. There may be a good reason, says John Ebbison, chief mechanic at CR's Auto Test Center. Keep in mind that a cheaper fix might not always be the best one. A good shop might use parts covered by longer warranties or have uniquely qualified technicians. You might get a better price from an independent mechanic if going somewhere other than the dealership won't void the warranty. But you should remember that dealers sometimes have special tools that independent shops don't have. The best check is a trustworthy mechanic who isn't afraid to answer questions or explain the work he or she is doing. And with that, we are nearly closing out our time today. We've got a few seconds left, so we'll probably have a little more music than usual at the end today. Anyway, if you would like to contact us, please call us at 919-832-5138 to comment on this program or any other things or to become a sponsor. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful day today or whenever you're listening to this, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much. This is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service.